It's the beginning of a new year, which is awesome. If you notice, there's nothing on the board. I don't know how to do that PowerPoint thing yet. I'll figure it out one time. I had a beautiful long talk ready and figured out to go, and then 3 o'clock this morning, that all changed. So I sat down, rewrote it again. I'm like, perfect, we got her set, ready for the day. 6 o'clock this morning, I woke up, and that's not what he wanted. So I rewrote it again. So bear with me. Hopefully it's going to be good for you. I want to do things a little bit different. If you've got your Bibles handy, and I hope you do, we're going to do what's called a sword drill. Heard somebody yell, yay. So if you've got your Bibles handy, I'd like you to hold it right up in the air. And without looking, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. When you got it, hold it up in the air and wave it so I can see who you are. Okay, Greg cheated. He's in the back. He's already got it.
Okay, Proverbs 17, verse 22.
Yes.
A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. The cheerful heart is good medicine. So today, I'm going to start off a little unconventional. I'm going to read from a book. And it's 2 pages. Really good friend of mine. He's a good writer, good comedian. Let me get her up here. It won't take a minute, but this is kind of how I want to start my new year. And he writes a little write-up, I think it's 3 pages, yep, called Floundering with Reality. The fellow's name is Russell Thornbury. He's a fantastic guy, fantastic preacher. You know him very, very well. Bear with me. He writes, as a young lad of 3, I met my first fish. It belonged to one of the kids in my neighborhood in Boston, and in retrospect, I imagine he found it in someone's garbage can. It was so rotten, it had turned orange, and the smell of it turned my stomach and brought tears to my eyes. In other words, it was a delightfully magnetic object to all the little kids in the neighborhood. I first became aware of the rotten flounder when I saw a bunch of kids standing in a circle a couple of front yards down the block. When I went to investigate, I found that Randy had tied a string to the oozing fish and was swinging it around his head in a circle. The rest of the kids were just bystanders, forming a ring around the revolving fish. I don't know about you, but that's something as a kid I would have loved to see. It was a truly wonderful sight, and I found my place in the circle and watched as a rotten fish flew past my nose time after time. All the kids were cheering at the wonder of the spectacle, and I couldn't help but join in. Round and round the fishy goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Of course, today I wouldn't agree with the latter part of that verse, the part about not knowing where it stops. I know exactly where it stops. Right where it stopped then, when the string broke, it hit me square in the face, and I was shocked. Oh, yuck, the other children squealed with delight. Russell has yucky all over his face. Indeed, I did. In fact, I was covered with the gelatinous, orange, rotting flounder flesh, which I commonly refer to as gorf. I cried and thought I would surely die. Coincidentally, that was my mother's first reaction when I arrived at the door, screaming with anguish and dripping with gorf. The experience, although traumatic, left no emotional scars. I do still, however, remember the horrible, nauseous taste of the gorf, and my stomach retches even today when I think of it. In fact, I still can't look a flounder in the eye, not even a fresh one. As I reflect on that early childhood introduction to my first fish, it quite amazes me that I have any remaining interest in fish at all. But what amazes me even more about that incident are the mathematical odds that selected me as the recipient of the whirling flounder. Given that there are 360 degrees in a circle, I suppose that my position represents no more than 5 degrees. That means that the odds were 1 chance in 72 that I would be hit by the rotten flounder if the string broke. Well, I'm not well enough equipped mathematically to calculate the odds of the string breaking at the precise moment necessary to deliver the flounder to me, but I am smart enough to know that my face full of gorf did defy some pretty strong odds. However, in my lifelong pursuit of fun and recreation in the great outdoors, I've experienced more than my fair share of gorf, and always against overwhelming odds. In fact, I've come to believe that a strange little cloud follows me around in the wilds, just looking for new and creative ways to gorf me. Now, I expect the expectation rather than the rule. In a strange but very real way, I see the great orange flounder of life orbiting the world and looking for someone to plaster. Regardless of the odds, I know that flounder is looking for me and that the string will not break until it catches me totally off guard. Then from out of the blue, whop, another face full of gorf. If you think I'm exaggerating or just reveling in self-pity, read on. He says, as you see, gorf comes in many unusual disguises. That's kind of how I want to start my new year. Just with that expectation that something crazy is going to happen, and I want to be right in the middle of it. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. So today, I want to talk a little bit about a new life. We're starting a new year. I would like to start a new chapter in my life. I'd like to look at this year as it's going to be full of exciting whatever comes to happen. Lots of excitements. There's going to be some misery, some heartache, mountains and valleys, and I'm looking forward to going through all of them, you know. So I want to back up a little bit. I'll give you a little bit about me, okay? The scriptures that we're going to read today, you'll see some of what I'm going to, I'll be talking about, we'll say you put that stuff aside, don't worry about it. I'll give you a little bit about me. I come from a small little town. I've had a very rough and troubled background, which will be another day. But when I met my Savior, everything changed. And I fell in love with this feller that I had only ever heard about, that I didn't know. When I met him, like I say, everything changed. So again, I've got no scripture up on the board, but if you've got your Bibles, please turn to, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10. One of my favorite verses in the scripture, and this is kind of why we're here. So the book of Hebrews is in the New Testament, a little bit before Revelation. We'll go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 22. I don't want to put a big heavy on us, but I just want to give us just a little gentle reminder of where we should be and where I'm hoping that we're all going to go. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That is my mission this year, is everybody I meet, everybody I talk to, I want to exhort them, push them closer to God, so if you don't know him, I want you to know him. He's just a fantastic, awesome guy, and yeah, and I fell in love with him, and I'd love for you to fall in love with him too. That's a good one. If we back up a little bit, we're going to go to a book called 2 Corinthians. You see, I skip back and forth quite a bit, but 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter 5 and verse 17. If you've got it, here it is. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the old things in my life, I'll give you a little bit about me again. My old life, like I said, I grew up small and little. I come from an alcoholic background. I come from a drug-induced background. By the time I was 17, I had 27 of my friends either killed or committed suicide. And I got into all kinds of really bad stuff. That's a different story. But Scripture says, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. So today I stand a new creature. My God has done something fantastic and special in me to make me a new person, both spiritually, mentally, and physically. You see, I walk around a little bit because I can't sit for very long. It's very, very sore. When I was 19, I hit a train with my truck, and that's how God decided to wake me up. I'm hoping he doesn't use a train to wake some of you up. You know? But that's what he used to wake me up. So when I got hit the train, it would be almost a year later, I met my met my wife, who introduced me to my Savior, which is awesome. I thank you for that. I would ask her to come up, but she says no. She doesn't want to be up on here. So that's that one. Go to a little bit longer one now. There's a book called Philippians, which is 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So just a couple of pages away. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I like this one. Chapter 3, verse 8 through 16. Yep. If you got it, read along with me. Thank you. It says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow him, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, sorry. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Wow, a lot of reading. I want to see about that. So what's Paul saying? He's saying that he's not already perfect, but that's his mission. That's what he's striving for. He's striving to be perfect. And God gives us a bunch of descriptions on how to be perfect. How to be perfect is we want to love God. We want to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And I know it says forgetting the things which are behind, but if you can remember where you came from, I don't know if that makes sense. If you remember who you are before you met the Savior, if you haven't met him, that's awesome. I'd love for you to meet him, and there's lots of elders and deacons that'll definitely help you get that information for you to meet him. But forgetting that which is behind, I want to push on to be a new person, mentally, physically, spiritually. I want to do what God says, and how I do that is he's given me a book to read and to study and to memorize. That's my mission. My mission is to push you closer to God. And I want you to push me closer to God, to provoke me unto love and good works. I want to provoke you unto love and good works. And that is like loving your neighbor, helping the homeless and whatnot. That's what we're supposed to do. So he gives us a prize that we're to push towards. And that prize is a high calling in Christ Jesus. We're to be perfect and thus minded. If that makes any sense. I'm kind of nervous a little bit, just in case you haven't told. Almost done. So a few pages later, after Hebrews, we're going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you've got it, please read along. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." I'm going to stop there. So knowing that Satan's devices are there to get us away from God, to make us stumble, to make sure that we don't make it, whether, I don't know what that may be in your life. I know what it is in mine. I know where I'm more apt to fall, where I'm more apt to stumble. I know where that is in me, and I would hope that you know where that is in you. And just knowing that Satan will use those to try to trick us into not following God, not going to church, not speaking to those people we meet on the streets, anything like that. That's what his job is to do. really, that's all I have for today. I know it's short, but that's what I wanted to get out. So if you just bow with me in prayer, I guess, and we'll be finished. Father, I thank you for today. I do thank you, Lord, that it's a new year. I just ask you that you would be with us. Just remind us what we've heard, Father, and lead us in your ways. I just ask you to bless us and give us insights into what we need to know, Father, and how to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray.